Hallo. Daar is hy. Goeiemôre almal. Weet nog nie wie se bril dit is nie. OK. Maar ek gaan hulle net hier sit as ek mag. Well, it's just great to be with you again. How many of you still are celebrating die Bokke? Amen. Praise die Here vir die Bokke. Well, thanks for your enthusiasm. Sorry. Ek het vergeet, julle is bikers. Julle stel nie belang in rugby nie. While we were coming over here, there are three bikes, CMA bikes, that overtook us on the highway. I was doing 160. There was a Honda 750 or 700, what do they call them? The C something or other, NC. Whose bike is that? Okay. Then I think there was a BM 1200R or something. Whose bike is that? Okay. There were three bikes. Which is the other bike? Okay. Nee, ek speel maar net. I was doing 130, so then I was wondering, so where do you guys come from? Royer Scroll. They come from Royer Scroll. Eh? Ek was baie beïndruk. I didn't want to throw you under the bus or report you to the cops or anything. Ek was net baie beïndruk. I come all the way from Royer's Kraal. How often do you come? First time. Why did you come? Okay. Yes, give them a hand. I actually thought you came because you heard that I was here. So now I'm back down to earth. There wasn't any here any. So, but anyway, so it's just always a pleasure for me to minister here. And it's good to see so many people over here as well. And I'd like to speak on something that we probably know about. I just saw something over there. And so I want to speak on this. The prayer that changes things. Not just prayer. The prayer that changes things. And I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 18, if you will. In verse 1, this is the NIV. Verse 1, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray, listen, and not give up. And then he gives them the parable of this widow and the unjust judge. Wie van julle ken daai verhaal? Okay, we'll go read it. It's very interesting. So, and Jesus giving the parable. So this woman goes to this judge. He doesn't fear God and he doesn't respect people. He's on his own mission. And she comes to him and says, give me justice against my adversary. So he doesn't. Tu cum se vie. He doesn't. Tu cum se vie. He doesn't. Then eventually he says this. Listen to this. It says, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Isn't that something? And the Lord said, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? So I want to encourage you to get all of that prayer that you're praying. How many of you believe in God for something specific? Anyone here? How many of you believe in God to touch your family? How many of you are trusting God for financial breakthrough? How many of you are trusting God for maybe a health challenge? Anyone? Okay. How many won't put up your hand today no matter what I say? Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Okay. But so you get different kinds of prayer. Now, I think if we realized the power that prayer has, and there are different kinds of prayer, if we realized the power that prayer has, we would probably pray more. And so I want to get into that just now, but there are different kinds of prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, 18, and it's actually on there, isn't it? 10 to 18. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, listen, with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. So there's just general prayer where we fellowship with God. How many of you pray in the mornings? You see, I told you. So then he's like, I'm not going to put up there. And Lucita's in Vijay. How many of you know we should pray more than what we should? Okay, but and that's always a challenge because when is enough enough? Then they're just praying. How many of you pray for the country? We should pray for the government. How many of us just praise God for what he's done? That's a prayer of praise, isn't it? How many of you pray, God, if it's your will, then let this be done or let that be done? Anyone prayed that prayer? You see, and there is a prayer, but that's what we call the prayer of dedication. Jesus knew what his Father wanted, but he was battling with that, you see. And so he says, if it's at all possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And sometimes we find ourselves in the same situation, don't we? Where we have challenges. We know what God's will is. We know that we mustn't just pay cash so we don't have to pay, VAT. Anyone been tempted with that before? Let me pray. God help me here, because the government really doesn't use your money right. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And God says, pay VAT. Did you hear that? Okay. So there are different things like that. Or maybe God's telling you to get involved. He's like, I don't know if I want to get involved. Eh? But nevertheless, your will be done. But you bikers. And so the new bike comes out. Yes. God, I want that bike. Eh? Anyone pray that prayer? I want that bike. How many of you added, nevertheless, your will be done? Okay, never buy a bike unless you and your wife are in agreement. Some guys buy bikes and ask for forgiveness afterwards because it's easier. So there are these different kinds of prayer. But there's a prayer that we pray that changes things. You can call it the prayer of faith if you want. And we just know this is my right. This is what God has given. This is what his will for me is. And it could be, how many of you know what God's will is? His will is in his word. Is his will to prosper us? Is it his will? Then we can pray that. Not if it's your will, because it is his will. Is it his will to heal us? By his stripes we are healed. And just recently I've heard three testimonies of people that were healed. One of our TCM pastors' wives, about a year ago, was diagnosed of stage 4 cancer, riddled. And she showed us the PEP scan, or whatever you call it. And just about 6 weeks ago, she was totally clear. Totally clear. Amen. And there are three accounts like that. So I want to say, it's God's will to heal us. And sometimes it's a fight, and sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Amen. So it is God. How many of you know it's God's will to save our kids or our families? The Bible says in Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. And so there are a lot of things. Sometimes God just puts something in your heart and says, I want to bless you. So it may be the new motorbike. How many of you ride motorbike? How many? Let me see your hands. Who rides motorbike? How many of you don't ride motorbike? What do? Play golf or something? Sorry. Okay, but sometimes God just wants a blessing and he says, believe me for that BMW. It's his will because he can bless us. Mark it sin for you. Though. And so you can go, and I'm just mentioning a couple of things. And I believe that God wants to give breakthrough for some people over here. He wants to give breakthrough for your lives. And so, they're general prayers. But there's this prayer that changes things. And you see, there's an attitude with this prayer. The attitude is the attitude of the widow. Jesus gave the parable. And this unjust judge said this, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Can you imagine that? When this woman came to the judge, she had fire in her eyes. It wasn't passive. And he realized, if he keeps holding her off one day, he's going to get hurt. Now, if you go to the Greek, and that word in the New King James, it says, weary me. In the NIV, it says, attack me. In the Greek, listen to this, it says, to beat black and blue. And we as Christians, we pray too passively. And we don't have fire in our eyes and saying, God, I'm letting go. I'm not letting go of this. This thing is your will and it's my right. And I'm not allowing the devil to steal it or keep it away from you or anyone else. I am trusting you for this thing. And I'm coming and coming. You can't beat God black and blue. But it's your attitude of this. Hey, I'm going to beat those gates of heaven black and blue. I'm going to pray until I get it. And that's it. I said, that's it. And so God wants to answer our prayers. Listen to John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. That's New Living Translation. But it says a similar thing in NIV. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, listen, you may ask anything you want. Now, there are T and C's apply. Because there are two things. You must be in Jesus. You see, if you're in the Lord, you are conscious of what his will is and what he wants. And his word is inside of you. You know what God doesn't like and you know what he likes for you. Well, thanks for your enthusiasm again. And we're going well over here. But it says, if you comply to the T and C's, you can ask anything you want to be given to you. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. What's that? T and C's apply. But anything that pleases him. Okay? We can ask anything. And since we know he hears us when we make a request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. So you can ask for your family, he'll give it to you because that's his will. Amen. You can ask for, and there's so much, I don't want to go over all that again, but let you use your imagination. You let God talk to you. You can ask anything that we know pleases Him. And He'll give it to us. And God tells us to pray because He wants to answer our prayers. But He can't answer a prayer until we pray it. Sometimes people think God knows everything. He's going to do whatever He wants. So what's the use of doing that? And it's not like that. It says in James 4 verse 2, it says, you have not because you ask not. But in verse 3 it says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So there it is again, you see, but God is so open to this thing. He wants to bless us more than what you realize. Now, unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church. Are you in the church? Now, let me tell you what gives glory when someone over here stands up and says, I've been praying for God for my son, and he drifted far from God, but he's come back. God gets glory. Amen. I've had a relative who's been suffering with cancer, and we went and we prayed for her. And I want to tell you, just this last week, she was cleared of all cancer. God gets glory for that. And so you can go on and you can say, I've been trusting God for a motorbike. And for those who don't drive motorbikes, I've been trusting God for whatever car it is or whatever. And God gave it to us. We give Him glory. You see, the reason why God, one of the reasons why God wants to answer our prayers, because He wants to receive glory. He wants us to be filled with testimonies. He wants us to go out to people and say this, may I share with you what my God did for me? And we can share testimonies that brings Him glory. He's not a hard God, He's a loving God. He's not a mean, mingy God like some people are. He's a generous God. But we've got to pray. You don't receive why? Because you don't pray. And so, here's my encouragement. Pray like the widow prayed. Put fire in your eyes. Amen. Amen. And sometimes we pray and it seems like nothing's happening. How many of you have been there? You pray and it seems nothing's happening. It's not that nothing's happening. Let me say this. Daniel once prayed 3 weeks, even fasted. 3 weeks. You know the story. I think it's in Daniel 10. And then what happens? An angel comes to him and says, God heard your prayer the first time you prayed, the first day you prayed. And he carried on, and he carried on. And there was spiritual warfare. Remember the prince of Persia or whatever it was withstood. And there was a spiritual wickedness. But I want to say, our prayers and our words are the things that fuel the angels of heaven to so that they can overcome the forces of darkness that are trying to withstand and hold back the blessings of God. And he said, now I've come to tell you, it's going to happen. And more than what you asked for is going to happen. Why? We serve a God who wants to give more than what we ask for. And sometimes we pray, and it seems like God's not hearing. Anyone prayed, and it's almost like God's not hearing anything. And it's not, or you think God said no. And it's not that. If you don't hear anything, it just means keep praying. I say keep praying. But pray with fire in your eyes. You see, prayer is almost like there's a place on fire, there's a block of flats on fire. And so a fire engine comes. Did anyone watch the news last night, Sky News? Just anyone? They are having horrific fires in Western Australia for 1,000 miles, 1,600 kilometers on the east coast. these fires are raging out of control. And there was, they showed you, they zeroed in to a guy that's trying to protect his house. He has this raging fire. He's got a hose pipe. And he's trying to water this thing. And all of a sudden, a helicopter comes over and drops that massive bucket of water. And that fire's gone. And I want to say, don't pray prayers like you're using a hose pipe. Because it may not change much. Man, you need to be like that thing, this block of flesh is on fire. And so what happens? The fire engines come, don't they? And they, if they can, they often connect their pipes that are, they're so big that you need a couple of men to hold them. And they connect it to a fire hydrant. And it's a stream of water like that. And I want to tell you, they keep going until the fire's out. And I want to say, there's got to be something in your pipe. I don't mean, not that pipe. Okay. And it's not a hose pipe. It's a fire engine pipe. And we don't want these small little weak prayers. I don't even know what a weak prayer is. Oh Lord, I come to you, and Lord, I really ask that you'll just break through. I mean, that's a hose pipe prayer, man. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And the power of prayer is not in how loud you can shout either. Understand that. Okay, we'll get to that. But sometimes it just feels good, doesn't it? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, I rebuke this thing in Jesus' name. And Father, in Jesus' name, I release the blessings of heaven, because every month I'm bringing my tithe, my full tithe, to the storehouse, Father. And I thank you've opened the windows of heaven and you're pouring out upon me such blessing. I do not have room enough to receive it. And Father, thank you. You have rebuked the devourer for our sakes, and all men are calling us blessed. I declare that I'm blessed and I'm prosperous in the name of Jesus. I could sin for you. And so we need to get some oomph into those prayers. Geez, I'm preaching myself happy over here. Eh? So pray with authority. Jesus said in Matthew 8:28-18, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, therefore go. We go with authority. I want to tell you today that God is stronger than Satan. And that God is inside of us. We have authority. We need to take up our authority and begin to use our authority and not to become the victims of circumstances. We are victors over circumstances. In Luke 10:19, it says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Listen, nothing will harm you. Amen. Pray. Let me have you got all of that. Pray. I want to read James 5 from verse 13. It says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Why? Change that thing. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Listen, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. And the skies sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. New Living Translation. So yeah, we have 6 verses. And it mentions prayer 7 times in 6 verses. What does God want us to do? Hey, some of you got it there. All right. What does God want us to do? But here's the thing. It's not those weak, if it's your will kind of prayers. Listen, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Yes, it gets me excited. Is anyone getting just a little bit excited? Okay, I know the mana, they're not allowed to show that because we don't show that emotion in our money plane. Get excited because God's going to change things. It says of a righteous person. How many of you feel righteous today? Great. How many of you are righteous? He sees the difference between feeling righteous and being righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're righteous. He's made you righteous. You may not be perfect, and none of us are perfect, but we're righteous. Now, the earnest prayer of a righteous man avails much. It produces great power and wonderful results. Amen. Just want to give you a story. Has anyone heard of George Muller? And then we're going to bring it to an end. Anyone heard of George Muller? You have. George Muller was a missionary who lived in the 1800s. Well known for prayer and prayer that changed things. And so, he lived a very sinful life. I think he was in one of the provinces of Germany. And he lived a very sinful life. And then, at the age of 30, he gave his heart to the Lord. And he wanted to become a missionary, so he went to missionary school in England. Because he wanted to become a missionary. His whole life was changed. And some of the bikers, you know what that is. So when he got saved, when he had finished his missionary course in England, they wanted to become a missionary. So the missionary society said, you were too bad before you got saved. We're not trusting you in the mission field. And so what does he do? So he prayed and he prayed and he prayed for God's will to open a door. After a year, he senses God says, go to that town in England. So he goes to the town. So he finds the church. So he goes in the church. So he says, I want to speak to the pastor. So they say, why? So he says, well, I just feel that God sent me here as a missionary. So the guy said, the pastor left last week. And so you become our pastor. So he becomes their pastor. And then he realizes these guys don't know anything about tithing. So he starts speaking to them about tithing. Soon after that, he starts building orphanages. And in the late 1800s, listen to this, their giving per year was $7.5 million. He started more orphanages than anyone in history. He clothed, sheltered, and educated over 10,000 orphans and established 117 schools which offered Christian education for 120,000 scholars. Listen, he did it all through prayer. He never asked one person for $1 or £1. He did it for prayer. When he got saved, he had 5 unsaved friends. So he started praying for them every day. After 10 years of praying, 3 of them got saved. After 25 years, the fourth one got saved. The fifth one got saved after 50 years. On the day that he was buried, this friend comes and gives his heart to the Lord at the grave of George Miller. The question is, does prayer work? You know, they formed a trust those years. That trust is still supporting missionaries today. He did it through prayer, but prayer that changes stuff. You see, in this verse of scripture that we've been reading, in Luke 18, verse 8, it says this: "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" How many of you know that when you pray about something, at first you've got a lot of faith and you trust in God? Anyone find that out? Then after a year, what happens? You're still praying, but you don't have as much oomph in the prayer. After 3 years, you're praying less oomph. Who knows what I'm talking about? You see, God wants us to change that. Abraham was different. God promised Abraham a son, didn't he? When he was 75 years old. He got Isaac when he was 100. Let me even say, yesterday. If I'm waiting 25 years, I'll be in heaven already. And I'm probably one of those people anyway. But the issue is this. It's not that. The issue is this here. Every year that went by, he was 1 year closer to getting his son. How's that? And it says that Abram grew strong in faith, giving praise to God. That even when it was against hope, he knew that his body was dead and the body of Sarah was dead. Yet he continued to praise God against all hope. He had hope in the promise of God, and he held onto that promise. And people thought that he was senile. They thought he may have had dementia, but because he was just saying, "Thank you for my son. Thank you for my son. Thank you for your promise." And he increased in faith. He didn't decrease in faith. And God wants us to increase in faith. And so, what about us? Just want to say this. It's not the length of our prayers that impresses God. You don't have to kneel down to pray. You can if you want. And it's not how loudly you pray that counts. Thank you. It's from here. Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel, when she prayed, she was barren. Not one sound came out of her mouth, but it came from here. And Eli thought she was drunk, remember? Why? It came from here. And folks, I want to stir you up and encourage you. We are losing out so much for what God has for us. Why? Because we're not praying with oomph. Too many people are praying hoosepipe prayers. And God says, no, it's not going to work that way. Amen. Has that helped you today? Who's going to change and say, "I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God now"? Then I want you to stand up right now, because I want to pray for you. Just stand up right now. We're saying, that's it. That's it. Our situation is going to change. Amen. We're going to put oomph into our prayers. We're going to be like this widow. We're saying, "God, I'm coming. I'm coming. You better know this." See, Jesus gave the parable. It wasn't one of the disciples. He gave the parable. And he says, that's the way I want you to pray. Pray like this woman. Pray like you're saying, "I've got hold of this thing. No one's going to keep it from me. This is your will. This is the breakthrough that you have for me. It's not your will for me to..." God doesn't want to go through tough times our whole lives. We've got to trust him. And so, Father, I pray for everyone standing here this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you. We can pray, but we're going to pray not just normal prayers. We're going to pray a prayer that changes things. We're going to be like this widow, Father, that it was in her eyes and in her heart, and the unjust judge neither regarded God nor man, that when he saw this, he said, if I don't give her what she wants, what she's coming for, she's going to beat me black and blue. She's going to attack me. And Father, that's how we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we just say, enough is enough. We've been victims of circumstances for long enough. Your blessings are not dependent on the economic situation of the nation. We can be blessed in tough times because of your word, because of your promises. Father, our families are not going to stay away from you in the name of Jesus. They come in to the foot of the cross of Jesus, and they're giving their lives to you in Jesus' name. And God, we're not going to keep on just having this sickness and whatever. Father, we thank you by the stripes of Jesus. We healed in Jesus' name. And Father, thank you. Breakthrough is coming in the name of Jesus. And God, we're holding on to you until we experience that breakthrough. Lord, and I thank you. We're going to give you glory. We're going to be filled. This church is going to be filled with testimonies of breakthrough, giving glory to you because of the power of God, because you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think through the power that's working in us, that you've put in us, the power of the Holy Ghost. You're going to receive glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.